Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roni. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, boys and girls probably shouldn't be listening to this. This is Jeff Roni. Welcome to the Roni Zone, and I have a superstar, and I'm not overstating things. I have someone who's seen the front side of water, the back side of water, Vanguard University. I mean, this guy has done some things. So I'm welcoming David Marley into the Roni Zone. How are you, David?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good.
You know, I've even seen the side of water.
I bet you have. I bet you've seen more water than you know what to do with. Have you swam in the rivers of America? I mean,
I have not.
Okay.
No, because nobody goes involuntarily.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Now, just to give listeners just a little back, the five listeners, a little background on David Marley. He was a Jungle Cruise skipper. And he does a wonderful thing that is called the Skipper Stand-Up, where he collects these little skippers that have read off scripts over and over and just gone crazy and then said, okay, I'm going to get this place. We can do stand-up comedy, and you can say whatever you want. And the skippers go, are you crazy? Well, maybe. And they do this. They put these on. When was your first Skipper Stand-Up?
It was almost exactly 3 years ago. Yeah, June of 2007. Yeah, 2006.
How was the sell? I mean, did you just kind of walk in there, hey, I got an idea?
Yeah, I'd already been doing a show at the Maverick Theater where we do the Skipper Stand-Up Show.
Yep.
And told these guys that I had an idea, I think it would sell out, and it did. And every single show we've done, we've done it every other month since then, and every single show has sold out, usually a couple days before the night. So it's just been crazy. We did it one time as a joke, and now it won't die.
Well, I got to say, I love it. And I think it is so cool that you give these ladies and gentlemen a forum for their comedy. Every skipper has got to have a personality, you know, to stand up on stage and just be silly and tell jokes. What's been the moments that you remember the most from Skipper Stand-Ups?
I intensely remember our very first show that we had sold out, but people just kept showing up. So there was a couch on the stage that we took off and put in the back of the theater so people could sit down. And if you go to the Skipper Show's website, there's a couple photos from our first night. One is the green room with all the skippers sitting down, and then later on we're all standing up because the chairs are gone. It just had that kind of energy to it. But some of my favorite moments are actually before the show, where all the skippers get together and we help each other with our sets, which you don't see in a normal comedy club. There's a little more competition where at the skipper shows, we kind of got the feeling that if the whole show isn't good, if one person doesn't do a good job, so you kind of help everybody, which makes it so much more fun. Yeah, it makes it a real blast.
I have never felt a more audience that kind of wants to pull what you got out of you. I've never seen that before. I've seen David Tell. I've seen Ralphie May. I've seen John Panette. I've seen some comedy shows. And normally, you know, just let's get everybody juiced up and hopefully they laugh. And, you know, everyone's kind of got their arms crossed and make me laugh, funny guy or funny gal or whatever. But it was such a fun atmosphere. I got to commend you. You probably hear that a lot, but it's just, I think it's important that you do that.
Well, sure. Yeah, I think people feel locked in. In two ways. You're kind of stuck there at Jungle Cruise and what you can do and what you can't do. And then even doing formal stand-up. We have a couple comics that perform quite regularly in clubs around Southern California. But there's also a strict framework there of what they want you to joke about and how you should act and how you should behave. We only have one rule. Okay, we have two rules, but the second one's secret. I'll tell you later. our only real rule is just be funny. Hey, can I do this? Can I do that? And my answer is, I don't care. Just go out there and try it. And if it bombs, you know not to do it again. And so I want to make it a place of real freedom where they can just explore and be funny and joke about whatever they want. Yeah, but we have had those audiences that do sit there with their arms folded and just expect us to, you know, make them laugh. We've had a couple of those shows where we really had our work cut out for us. But normally the audiences are just fantastic and part of the party.
I remember looking for the theater. I remember finding it, and I can't recall how I happened upon it. It may have been Mouse Planet or something like that. And So it was kind of like finding a whiskey joint during Prohibition. It was just, I never had heard about it. You know, and I'm pinging these other podcasters that have done Disney for years. And have you heard of this? No. Okay. I looked at the picture of the theater. I'm going, okay. And we were trying to find it. I'm going next to the railroad tracks. I'm going, honey, are we okay? You know, but it was just a nice surprise. In the night we were there, they showed the video of taking the jewel from the Aladdin show. Somebody's last day. And it was just a real hoot. It really was. I mean, it was just really, really cool.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we have a lot of fun with it. And the owner of the theater has been a great friend of the show. Makes it a lot of fun to go be there. It's actually my favorite things to do is to go to Skipper shows, and it's the highlight of my month. Whenever we're doing a show, I just get very, very excited. It's always just a blast.
Now, I remember two of the scariest times of my life was and the second was learning stand-up. I knew I was kind of funny, and then, you know, I had a great friend who does a Disney podcast, and they were going to do a banquet, and he goes, I want you to do 20 minutes of stand-up. And so I fell over, and then I got back up, and I said, oh, okay. And so I recorded like five minutes of funny mixed stuff, because I do that all the time anyway. So I knew I had only 10 minutes, and so I read a book and, you know, practiced and sifted it down. A friend of mine sent me to a gal that does some stand-up, and so I did it in front of her. I was just nervous as heck. It is a feat to put together a routine. And I saw a video of you. I think it was in Kentucky. I think it was the Louisville show.
Yeah.
You got your chops, man. You got it. And
thank you very much.
I know it has taken you a long time. And you know, what's it like to kind of be out, you know, in the crossfire? I think a Skipper show, it kind of has its own vibe. But, you know, when you go to Louisville, and you've done a couple of other shows as well, what's that like to just be you out there?
It's great. It's absolutely great. And the more years that I do stand up, just the more fun and the easier it gets for me. So it's just a real joy. I loved performing in Kentucky. I was out there a couple of weeks ago. I had written this material that was just about the senator from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell. No one else is going to laugh at this stuff except these people. So I went out there and just threw away my set that I had planned and did that. And it's a lot of fun. And the Skipper Show has been a great place for me and for some of my other friends to kind of practice, and a good place to kind of get your feet wet in an audience that really is there to laugh and to have a good time. And it helps you experiment and do all kinds of fun stuff. But it's just been wild. It just keeps getting better. I just absolutely love stand-up. I was in Oregon seeing a show a couple of weeks ago with my wife, and the theater had about 800 people in it. It was to see a Shakespeare play. Right before the show starts, I look at my wife and I went, the Skippers, we would kill in this room. We would kill. And I just sat through the whole show going, man, I wish I had a microphone. I would be on that stage right now. This would be awesome. So, yeah, it just kind of takes over your life.
You're going to get tired of hearing me, you know, laud things on you. But you are also a
I'm so shallow. You have no idea.
What? Get out of here. You are a teacher. And I must say, being a teacher, we've already talked about getting these Jungle Cruise Skippers, you know, together to kind of hone their skills as stand-up, which that's incredible as it is. But you also teach the youth of today. Was that what you were going for, is to be a teacher? How did you happen to flow into that career?
Yeah, I've always loved teaching and loved young people and loved history. And that's how I got into it, just from there, going to grad school. And so my teaching has kind of spilled out in both ways. So I love teaching my history classes. I'm actually here at Vanguard University in the spring. I'll be teaching a one-unit class on stand-up comedy. They kind of teach them how to do it. And it's spilled over to with my skippers as well. I actually made about a 10-page book on how to go from being a Jungle Cruise skipper to being a stand-up comic. Because so much of what you learn at Disneyland in the jungle is what you should already know how to do if you're doing stand-up. So skippers that have worked at the Jungle for 6 months have like 2 years worth of stand-up comedy experience. Because being a stand-up comic, it's a lot tougher to get that kind of time. So helps me teach there, and I love it. Although I must admit, I do try out my material sometimes with my students.
Really? Honestly?
I honestly do. I actually, here's another secret. I actually have a voice recorder that I keep with me, and if I think I'm going to try out material, I'll put it on the podium and turn it on and then listen to it later and see if it works. My favorite bit right now is what I've been doing for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, about North Korea and nuclear missiles, and it's suddenly timely again, which makes me happy. First time I did it was in a World Civ class. I was just making fun of communism and why I missed it, and they laughed, and I recorded it, and they went back and wrote a few notes and tried it again in a different class, and it's become my favorite bit. So, yeah, I've merged all these worlds together in one big mushy pot.
Well, just to kind of loop around, I did attend Vanguard. I did graduate, so you know, I made my family so proud. Is I was, you know, one of the few that incurred a lot of debt going to college. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and it's funny going to a Christian school. I mean, you know, I'm going to get in trouble, but it's just, I'm just being real. It's just, you know, I was staying out in the apartments in the back and, you know, there's a loud guy walking back and forth praying really loud at night. And I'm going, you know, pray for me. You know, pray that you find a girlfriend. And I swear he found a girlfriend that prayed just as loud as him and walked with him. I said, there is a God. There is a God.
That is awesome.
I mean, you know, this is incredible. And then they're going to raise kids that'll probably pray loud too outside the house. I mean, come on. This is fantastic. But
it's a whole new generation.
You know, Vanguard was a lot of fun. I was a rebel, though. I sat in the back row of chapel. Hated chapel. Just hated it. I look back on that time. You know, it's important. There were a lot of teachers that really, you know, gave me some great things that I've not lost. You know, I've that's kept with me and how to think. You know, I remember, you know, I was in a theology class. And I remember someone just kind of gave a pen answer about, you know, the deity of Jesus. And he goes, how do you know that? And I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. He goes, how do you know that? You know, and we just kind of broke it down. And I really enjoyed being challenged. And I was reading over some of the subjects that you were teaching. World religions today.
Religious history is my specialty, that and the Christian right. But yeah, I agree with you. It's weird to be back at the school where I attended as a student. A bit of a hellraiser when I was here. I think they were happy to see me go. It's amazing. I adjuncted here one semester and thought, well, that was fun, but they'll never hire me back. And then when a tenure-track job opened up, I was just beyond excited. So being here every day is just surreal and fantastic. Just love it.
How does the future look from your angle, being there?
Future for what?
For Christians kind of learning and going out in the workforce. I mean, is there an excitement? Is there kind of a fear? Or what do you get?
There is. And the school, every single thing about this school is better than it was when you and I were students here in the 80s. Everything. It's an amazing place where just it's so academic and so encouraging of the life of the mind and searching for answers and encouraging that kind of thing. And in terms of the administration being in favor of it, it's fantastic. I'm incredibly blessed to work here, and especially when they allow me to do stand-up comedy and, you know, be crazy during the weeknights, and they still think I'm an awesome professor during the day, I guess. So that works out well for me. So, but yeah, it's great. I have more and more confidence about our country, about our future, seeing these young people that are just some of them most of them actually are smarter than I was when I was their age, but I've had a couple that I'm pretty sure are smarter than I am now.
I think the rebelliousness that I had in college really, it prepared me for life outside, air quotes, college. I believe God more now. I believe in God more now. I believe in the truth of the scripture more now because I questioned almost the entire time through. You know, growing up in a charismatic home, you know, you see, you hear a lot of things, and I just, there was a point I don't buy it all. I got questions, and you know, a lot of people worried about me. I'm pretty sure in college there were some needs not being met because everyone was praying for me, and other people that had headaches and backaches, they didn't get met because people were just doubled up praying for me. But I really enjoy the fact that you are a teacher forming minds of Christian students to prepare them for the wild ride that awaits them in this world. And you can be you, and you can do stand-up, and you can be silly, and you can say things that some people may just fall over in a dead faint. But you are reflecting God to the generations, you know, through you. And I think it's really, really cool that you have all these opportunities. I really want to commend you for kind of, you know, helping out all these. I mean, I see God working through you, reaching out.
Thank you very much. I'll just my students see what they think.
Well,
thank you very much.
I just think that the days of the 50s Christian with the outward looks are over. I think if God is in our heart, then God's going to reflect out through us. And I think if he chose us, he knew what he was getting into. And I think it's a new game these days. If we're to reach the lost, we got to go out to them. And I get excited when a Christian actually goes out to people that probably don't agree with them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to get too heavy, but I do want to say that it's important that you're doing what you're doing, because I think you're being a light into a place where churches would never go.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been interesting, and the interesting reactions I get from Christians when they find out that I'm a history professor is sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's not. It's kind of unusual that they sometimes, I remember living in Washington, D.C., and it made some people very nervous, wondered why I was studying that and what I was doing and what my plans were, which I thought was unusual because Christianity is a historical religion. That's its basis and its focus. It's such an incredibly important thing to do. But my job is made easy by the people I work with and the great students that I have. You know, you can go to a big Cal State or UC school and get educated, but here you get smaller classes and you get that intimacy in a class that you don't get in a huge lecture hall, which I think it certainly helped me. I don't know if it helped you when you were here, but it really made the difference for me. I was a D student. I was barely making it out of high school. I don't know why they accepted me. Back in that day, it was easier to get in than it is now to Vanguard, but it was great.
I definitely don't want to bash, but I just, one of my famous, SEC stories, which is Vanguard now, is when the communications department started year one, Harry Sova was there. And so we sat down, the first class sat down, and so Harry said, "Okay, let's talk movies. Godfather. Who has seen that?" Not a hand went up. Okay. Jaws. Nothing. And he named off all these top films that, you know, everybody and their brother has seen, and he says, "No, wait a minute. You have seen none of these movies?" And one of the guys in the back said, "We signed a document saying that we couldn't see any movies at all, sir." So he had to go to the board and sit down and say, "Listen, if I'm going to teach filmmaking, I can't teach Thief in the Night, okay? So we're going to have to relax this a little bit. Can we put in use discretion?" Or and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, those days are gone. When I was a student here, we weren't allowed to go social dancing,
mm-hmm.
and my wife came and directed the first dance show Vanguard ever had just a couple of years ago. So it's a lot different. Yeah, she teaches dance here as well.
Wow.
So, it's a much better place in almost every single way you can think of. It's just been blessed by the Lord in a lot of ways.
I just think that Christians have ruined it for us Christians. There's been so many misfires and so many dumb things said and just so much junk that you want to be a double agent and kind of hide. But I think Christians have something to say. I, I, I don't think that what's in our heart and maybe the lens that we see life through has to be kind of a Bible over the head. I think that we can offer possibly a different view. And I think creativity is spread throughout all mankind, even, wait for it, on Christians. And I think there's room for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I just definitely wanted to introduce folks to you, and I still think Skipper Stand Up. Now, next time you're going to get mad at me, you're going to, Jeff, you know, we had overflow and people were climbing up on, you know, the windows and crawling in. But I just hope people get introduced to what you do. And I think you're a cool guy. I think there's so many great things that you're doing. You know, your husband, you're a dad, you know, you got things going on, you know. Hopefully this will continue on. You mentioned a couple of skippers that kind of do shows, you know, on and on. I mean, is there any movie actors or what? What do we got from our stable of skippers doing stand-up?
Not from our show. There's a guy that hasn't performed with us who is a professional stand-up comic. Another guy who's going to be in our October show that's a professional comic. But there have been famous skippers. Kevin Costner is a famous skipper. John Lasseter, the head of Pixar, is one. So there's a lot of us out there doing different things. A buddy of mine who had never worked there said, man, you skippers, it's like the Illuminati. Once you guys are together, you're always together, even if you've never met. I'm like, yeah, I guess that's kind of the best way to say it is. That's why in the skipper show, I take people that have never performed before and put them right next to people that are doing it, you know, professionally at local clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And it just works out great. The experience you have out there in the jungle just makes them awesome comics. I think it makes everybody better as a result. And it's just it's a heck of a lot of fun.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's skippers, and because I love Disney. I'm amongst millions and zillions of people. And so there's a lot of, you know, Walt Disney World skippers and all this. And it is kind of like the secret club, you know. You skipper? Yeah, okay.
One of our performers at this next show is a guy that was one of the skippers chosen to go to Tokyo Disneyland for their anniversary. They had skippers from all around the world go. So that was kind of cool. He's one of our regular performers. So.
Well, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I do want to thank you for being on the phone, listen to me yammer and answer a few questions. So thanks for that.
Man, love talking to you. It's summer. I'm hanging out writing jokes and playing Rock Band. That's my summer agenda. September, so.
Like I posted on your Facebook, enjoy the summers. Enjoy them.
I do, man. My babies think that every dad gets to spend 4 months at home with their kids in the summer. I'm like, no, that's just us poor ones. That's it.
Well,
thank you for having me.
Oh, you got it. You got it. Now, tell the massive throng listening where they can find information about the Skipper stand-up, about you, you know, whatever will give them an idea about how to get involved and check it out.
Yeah, great. Our website is skipperstandup.com. Skipperstandup.com has information about the upcoming shows. There's a little video clip you can watch of some of our greatest hits, list of our upcoming shows. You can buy tickets there. The all-important, as you know, the map to the theater. That place is hard to find. If you want to know more about me, I have two websites, davidmarley.com and davidjohnmarley.com. One is the historian, one is the comic. Check that out. That's how 1990s I am. I got two websites going. So davidmarley.com and davidjohnmarley.com. But the skipperstandup.com is the main site for the show. And you can see reviews there from, you may know David Koenig.
Yes. Yes.
He's a fan of the show and a very supportive presence for us. So he's been great. I got a quote from him that he wrote, and I'm like, oh, I'm putting that on the front page of the website. So I'll do whatever I can to whore the show out. It's been great. So, yeah. But our next show is July 26th. We have one in October, November. And it is a blast, particularly because this thing sells out. And then you're standing out in the parking lot trying to listen over the sound of trains going by.
There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that. And we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is James.
And this is Jen.
We've been married since 1996. The only problem is, What?
We don't have anything in common.
No, we don't.
Two people with totally different tastes in everything, including ice cream.
It's true.
I'm a geek.
And I'm a nerd.
I'm a husband.
I'm a wife.
I'm a father.
And I'm a mother.
How do two people so different come together and make a life work? We can't be the only two people like this out there.
Surely not.
Geek loves nerd.
Every week, we get together and we talk about issues.
Finances.
How to find the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
In-laws.
Video games.
Marriage tips.
I like beef tips. There's also the Ask Jen segment where people ask questions for my wonderful wife.
And it's the best part of the show.
Wow.
Geek loves nerd.
You need to go to geeklovesnerd.com or look us up in iTunes, because we're the standard by which every other marriage is measured by.
Of course, that's why we're podcasting in our basement.
And you're not. Well, peace out.
Peace out, home skillet.
Geek loves nerd. Trying to find something in common since 1996.
Podcasting. It's the Red Boy Podcast.
You know what you're talking about.
A little morons of the world.
That's okay. It's a sign from God.
Like we mean it.
We are here. Amy, how are you, my love? Nice to see you again.
Blah, blah, blah.
Podcast.
Like we mean it.
His name is
Red Boy.
It's the Red Boy Podcast.
From the cornfields.
Featuring the best part of the show.
Podcasting like they mean it.
Your window onto the boulevard of the cornfields of central Illinois. That's right. It's the Red Boy Podcast featuring Absolute Amy.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you listening to Roni Zone Radio? Okay, good.
Thank you for listening to Roni Zone Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roney@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roney's Own Radio.